May the peace of God and the love of Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of his Holy Spirit be with us here this morning is my wish and prayer for everyone. Good morning. A hearty welcome to everyone that has come this morning. It is a joy to be in your midst again and home, at your home for oneself, to be at one's home church to serve you again with a message. This morning, I do see that we have some guests, and I bid you a hearty welcome here as guests here this morning. It is a joy to know that there are those that, not just our regular ones that come, but even those others, the others that come that are guests, and may you feel welcome here this morning. For some of them online that may not know me, my name is Pastor Cal Hebert. This is my home church. I tend to forget from time to time. We are supposed to do that when we go up here, but I hardly ever remember to say what my name is. I know my name, and I take for granted that others will know my name too. And anyhow, this morning, today I was thinking of what to prepare ourselves for Jesus' coming. What do we need to do? How do we go through this? And what do we have to go through in order to, when Jesus will come? What is he going to put us through? In Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2, Malachi writes this. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the master of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Questions, two questions that Malachi has. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to get together again. And Lord, that we have that freedom to do that. Glory to you, O God. Praise to you, O God. This morning we come, Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. And may this food, the word of God, to us be blessed. By you, Lord, we are fed through your holy word, and we ask that you would just bless the holy word to our bodies, our souls, and so that our souls could be nourished and strengthened, so it could be strong enough with the challenges that the flesh seems to have to take on in life. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon today, everyone that's come this morning. You know, last night I prayed for everyone that came, would come this morning, or those that are listening, would be edified. And I pray, Lord, that you would just shower your blessing through your servant so that the words that be spoken would be a blessing to each one and that they could feel edified. And through that, we could all together come back and glorify you, O God. We pray for your blessing upon the singing, upon the fellowship, upon each and every one that's here and those listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll have a few songs now.
In the blue hymnal, number 517, what a friend we have in Jesus. We invite you to stand.
Do not carry everything to trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share?
Number 265, draw me nearer. 265.
I love you.
Number 144, only trust him. 144.
Thank you. Thank you for joining in and singing this morning. I'm going to touch a little bit on the last song that we sang. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Does that include you? It includes me. It includes me as some things in my life that I struggle with. The sins that try to get me down. And then the question is, if Jesus comes again, will I be ready? Will I be ready? Do I continue in that sin? Do I live in that sin, expecting grace to abound? Or do I try my best to get out? And do I conquer one at a time, another sin at a time? Again, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Isn't that great? We have that mercy and the grace of God, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Sometimes, does it feel like we get rest? There's times that we just feel like, man, we just conquered another thing in our life that we got over, and we find we have another one to challenge. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. The sins that we have, God sent his son Jesus to cover them with his blood and to wash them as white as snow. I love the way Isaiah writes about that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And I put it in my little bit of my own words here. And it may not be exactly where necessarily what he's saying, but in that sense, come now, let us reason together. We could maybe say, and this is where I say I kind of put it in my understanding, my words is, God is saying, come now, let's make a deal. You know, we talk about making deals often. We understand that a little bit, maybe a bit more than let's reason. But that's kind of the meaning here. You know, we want to reason this together. We want to work this out. He says, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He wants to reason with us. He wants to make it possible with us. Well, our sins are like scarlet. He wants to make them, wash them, so they're white as snow. And doesn't the writer of the song write exactly that? Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. We go forward into this. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Don't delay. Are you one this morning, whether listening online or one here in this midst? Are you one wondering, should I accept Jesus, should I not? As a songwriter writes, don't delay. There's part of my message will be getting ready, being ready. Last verse, come then and join in this holy band and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal, mortal flow. Wow. I just heard a message not that long ago of a pastor just speaking about how eternity was going to be, what eternity would look like. And just having the glimpse of Paul himself, Apostle Paul had a glimpse of heaven, and how he clarified that it's only a bit of it. We can imagine what it'll be like, but it won't even come close to what it's going to be like. So there's going to be joy's immortal floor. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Today is the time. Turning back to Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2. I'll read those words, those verses again. Malachi chapter 3, pardon me, verses 1 and 2. Behold, I will send my messenger. He's speaking about John the Baptist here. I will send my messenger, which I'll put the word in, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. Before whom? Before God, before Jesus. And the Lord, that is Jesus, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He's going to come. He has come. He has been on earth. He has died. He's gone to prepare a place. It asks a question here when Jesus would come the first time, and also the question remains for us for Jesus' second coming. When he comes, whether it's a rapture, for those that were here on Friday, I believe we had a wonderful message on Friday, just the explanation of the rapture. And here in verse 2, he says, but who may abide in the day of his coming? Who's going to be ready? Who's going to have worked for him and be ready for his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Will I be strong enough? Will I be one of those two that are in the bed that will not go with him? Will I be one of those two that are in the field that will not go with him, but my partner working with me in the field will go be with Jesus? Or will I be the one that goes? Will we both be able to go working together? When I often think of that verse, and I think as couples, we sometimes think of that when it talks about two being in bed and one will be taken, the other one not. I think our minds turn and say, we both want to be there. And don't we? Rightfully, we both want to be there. As we know, it's a parable. It's an example. So then it's always a question. Are we ready? Are we ready? It says, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Fire. How many of you have been close to a fire? Sat beside a fire? Numerous of us, right? We maybe build a fire in the backyard or a fire pit. We feel the heat. Maybe at the wood stove, our stove in the house, and so on. We feel the heat, but who has been in the fire? Who has jumped into the fire? None of us. There may have been some that have experienced fire where they have been burnt and survived, and some of them that did not survive. But here he's talking about a refiner's fire. It's a fire where a person sits and refines gold and silver. I looked up roughly what the heat would be in a fire that they use to heat up gold and silver to make it hot enough to get out all the junk. There's a certain amount of heat, and the junk will always come up to the top. It's called the dross. That would be taken off. This heat of this fire, can you imagine? 870 degrees Celsius. That's hot. From 870 degrees Celsius to 980 degrees Celsius is what the temperature of a fire like that has to be to get gold hot enough to separate the dross from the gold or silver. Have you and I experienced some tough struggles? Have you and I come into situations of our life where we knew that the life that we were living in was sin? We knew that we wanted to get out. And then God says, I'm going to have to purify you. You have to be willing to allow yourself as gold and silver to be stuck into this fire and allow me to turn the temperature up and to take the dross away. There's times that we would say, not right now, God. I'm not ready to be put into that fire. I enjoy where I am as a piece of gold or piece of silver somewhere stuck in a mountain. Safe, secure, nobody's bothering me. I don't feel any heat, any temperature, any challenge. I'm safe where I am. But you know, a piece of gold or a piece of silver left in the mountain, in the rocks, is not valuable. And so it is with us. If we stay, we want to stay where we are and we don't want to get out. And to allow God to purify us to be that gold and that silver for him. We're not of value, but we have to go through fire. He also uses example here of, it's a phrase like a refiner's fire, and he goes on like fuller's soap. So what is fuller's soap? Fuller's soap maybe is not very familiar to us. We would maybe say, well, that's a brand name, Fuller's maybe. I don't know. We could use that maybe, but that's not what it means here. Fuller's soap is a soap that they used back in the day to cleanse and to whiten cloth, to cleanse and to whiten wool. If the wool was dirty, they would clean it with that so it could be dyed. So all the junk was taken out, and they were using Fuller's soap to whiten it, to make it beautiful and white. Isn't that what God wants with us? He's using Fuller's soap on us to cleanse us and to make us clean. But he's using his blood. If we accept Jesus' blood and righteousness, he comes and he cleanses us and makes us white as snow. So, where am I? Where are you in your walk of life? Maybe I could ask you a question, and that would be like this. What have you done for the Lord? If I gave you a minute to think, you may come up with one thing, 10 things, different things. But I trust and hope that everyone that is here today would all be able to say, I've done something for him. I don't know how many of you, I believe I would probably say I'm pretty close to right here, that you all have had a boss in your life, that you've worked for someone. That's not necessarily that you're right off the hop from leaving mom and dad, that you started your own business. But I think I can trust and believe that pretty well everyone in this congregation has started off with somebody having rule over them as a boss. Now, some of you, have you been challenged with the fact that your boss said to you, you know what, I'm going on a week of holidays or just a weekend of holidays or just for the day, and he's left you with things to do. And not just that alone, he's left you in charge of the other people working. Now, we would say maybe for an example, that work at Low and Millwork, they have their supervisors there or their lead person. Other places, Spectus and so on, there's different places that have these bigger businesses. They have put people in responsibility or authority place to lead that group, to be the ruler over them. So when your boss goes on holidays, what do you do? Ah, he's gone. We can play now. You know, we take our time. We'll do as we want to, and we'll do the things we just have to do, and the rest we'll just leave. Or, as one that's in charge, am I the type of person that would say, boss is gone, I'm going to take it easy on my workers. We'll do, as I said, very little. I myself am going to do very little. What if he returns? Well, we would say we all expect him to return, right? So we have in our mind and in our thinking, we know that if I don't do these certain things he's required of me to do, then I know my boss, when he gets back from his holidays, he's not going to be impressed with me, and I might lose my job. A very good chance. Or maybe my position. And so we do our best, don't we? We do our best to make sure that those things that he's required us to do, they will be done when he gets back. Let's turn to Matthew 25 for those that have their Bibles along. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, and we'll end at verse 30. Jesus is using here a parable. And he says this, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Example, here's a man, here's a boss, he's traveling, he's going into a different country. Maybe he's going down to South America, whatever, just for an example. He is traveling. And he calls his servants together and he delivers unto them his goods. Those are the boss's goods. And he says, verse 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Using it as an example, he gave them things that they were in charge of. He gave them things to be in authority over. And it says to everyone according to his several ability. Totally makes sense to me. And I bet to you too. You know, my boss didn't give me things that he didn't know I couldn't do. For an example, he didn't say to me, I want you to make sure those tractors and those combines are ready for combine season when I get back from holidays. He put that on me because he knew I had the ability to work on those combines and those tractors to get them ready. He didn't put it on one of the other workers I worked with. The other worker that I worked with, he was great, but he was great with cattle. He had his position in milking and certain things, working, sitting on the tractor and driving it, but to fix it was not his ability. And so he does give everybody according to his ability. And sometimes we say, well, why don't I have that gift? Right now, God has given you, each and every one of us, an ability of certain things. And one has 5, it says here. One has 2, and one has one talent. But there's a difference with what gets done with these talents and how they feel worthy. And so they proceed with what they have, or do they not? And then it says, and straightway he took his journey. He'd given them things to do. Now he's gone on holidays. Then the one, it says, verse 16, the one that received the five talents, he went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. I may be saying it very lightly, but really I think it was a natural thing for him to do. He did that possibly before. He was working with things that just made his boss more money, just made things productive. And when his boss was gone on holidays, he just naturally, to my understanding here, just naturally went on. He took those five and he made another five. So, was, you know, there was possibly maybe even no effort. It just came naturally to him. And maybe there was effort, but he doubled them. And it says this, verse 17, that the one that had two talents, the same thing happened with him. He also got double of what he had received from his boss. He brought back, he gained two more. But then there's that one that only received one talent. And I don't know, I just struggle with this one. And the fact that this guy would actually take the talent he has, go dig a hole and put it in there. Not even as much as give it an effort to see if he could get something more out of it. It tells us in verse 18 that he dug a hole and he had the Lord's money. I'm going to use a bit of an example. And I use this maybe numerous times, but it is just reality. My twin brother has a gift of taking instruments and playing it, one after another. I don't know. You give him a banjo, you give him a piano or organ. It's amazing what that guy can take in his hands, and after a while, he'll play it. And so he could just multiply that. Well, so he's tried a few instruments. He just grabs another new instrument, and he starts playing that. He'd play bass if he had to. So if I stood and looked at him and said, you know what? You got all that, and you're doubling it, and all I can do is play guitar, and I can't even pick. I can only strum. I think I'm going to take my guitar, and I'm going to dig a hole, and I'm going to put that guitar in the hole. What use would that be? And yeah, maybe I'm not playing my guitar enough. I don't want to say that I'm not, or I am. But you see, if I just totally gave up and didn't use the guitar to play some songs and sing some songs to bring melody and joy to, and play for the Lord, how can he double it? Yes, sometimes he doesn't. As mine, I've tried, it doesn't work. But God has given me gifts in other areas. God has helped me and multiplied me in a different area. So for us to stand and just stop and say, okay, well, my brother got it all, and I got nothing virtually. Do I stop? Just because God gave me only one talent, do I say I'm not worth my twin brother? I mean, look at what he got. He got five and I only got one. Boss is on holidays. I'm just going to give up. No, that's not how it works. The little bit that we have, we put to use and to multiply that. I think numerous times when I think of this, I think of how I've gone through a number of employees working for me and how I've seen some of those that I thought would never grow to be where they are today. They are one of the top leading people in my group. Because they took that little bit that they could do and they tried for the next step. They tried to double it. It may have taken some more time than the others, but it's possible. And so it is for you and me. It is possible. Here it says that this boss is gone. The one that had five, he doubled it. The one that had two, he doubled it. And the last one that had one, he buried it. Well, we all know, common sense teaches us and reality teaches us the boss is coming back, unless he dies or something, but he's coming back. And so this one did too, as Jesus gives example, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now he wants to deal with them. Okay, so what high are you doing? What have you done? And so he starts off with the one with five talents. He comes to him and brought him another five talents and says to his Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Can you imagine his boss just being saying, wow, good for you. So his Lord says to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, according to verse 21. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind. I will not give somebody a position in a, working for me over authority over a group of people if they don't have an interest of leading and seeing in them that they are interested in trying to make their work very well, their job done well, and really concentrate on it. I will not put them in a position of supervising and over a row of cages to set them up. Here too, he didn't just give him this. He saw that it multiplied, so he says, now I'm going to do more to you yet. I'm going to make you ruler over many things, not just a little bit. You're going to have more things on your plate now. And that same thing happened to the one that had two talents. It tells us the same thing that he said to the one with five. Then he comes to the one that had one talent, the one that he'd given one talent. It tells us, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I believe in the book of Luke, it speaks about an Austria man, if I'm pronouncing it correct. It talks about a man that is strong, solid, and this is how it's going to be done. These I've asked you for certain orders, and I expect them to be done the way I've told you to. And so here is one, the one with one talent. This man, he recognizes, he understands that. He knows that this boss that he has, when he gives orders, he means that. And so what does he do? He says, I was afraid, verse 25. And I went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. I hid that. Are you afraid? Does the devil put in your mind that there's something you want, God wants you to do, and you back off? Maybe I could use an example, and it may not all, everybody might have their own example for this. But you're at work. You're working with other fellows. And your boss, you know that your boss has been the type, he's left now for the day. And you know that your boss does not appreciate the workplace to have foul language. And you are one that has been given the authority to tell someone that if they use foul language, that this is not appreciated and not accepted in this workplace. And somebody uses foul language, and we bury the opportunity to tell them this is not God-fearing and this is not respectful in this workplace. You see what I'm saying? We think sometimes we have so little, but where do we start? If we don't start with possibly at our workplace, with being an example and having that light shining through us, how do we expect God to give us more gifts and to further his kingdom? We want to start at the top of the ladder? It's not how it works. You don't come generally into a workplace and you're the supervisor right at the top. But you start in one area, as the one did with the one talent. The one with five talents? To me, it's this story makes very clear sense to me. There's three guys. I can totally get it when a boss gives each one a certain amount of authority. He knew their capability. And now this third one, he at least gave him a chance, right? This boss gave him a chance. I'm going to put something in your authority. Maybe when I come back, you've maybe put something here at least to use, to work. And what does he do? I don't care. I'm going to bury it. Maybe we could use that. But here he speaks about he was afraid. What was he afraid of? Was he afraid he was going to do something wrong? Again, verse 25, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that as thine. And then the Lord answers him, verse 26, says, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the utter unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happened to these three men? I want to look back to Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2. These three men were put through the refiner's fire. They were tested. They were tried by their boss. This is a perfect example of Jesus. I believe he's using this parable of an example of himself, that he as that boss, he as that one having leadership over us, he as a ruler and owner of everything, has gone on a journey. And he's given some of us 5 talents, some of us 2 talents, some of us 1 talent. What are we doing with it? You and I are in that fire, that refining fire. Or are we a piece of gold or silver that just want to stay in the rock, in the mountain, and not be useful and not be valuable for Christ? Jesus is coming again. What have I done for him? What have I done for him? Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, before Jesus. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Question I want to leave with us today morning. In verse 2, the 2 questions. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us this morning. The question that comes out of your holy word is, but who may abide the day of his coming? Who will be ready for your day of coming? Who will have done the things that you have laid into our care to take care of? And who shall stand when you appear? Will I want to say when you come, Lord, please go back, I need another day? You will not return back. When you will come for final judgment. Lord, I pray, if there's someone here this morning, someone listening to this message, Lord, if they are not sure, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just give them the understanding. If they're not ready, prepare today. And Lord, not withholding the 1 talent, but Lord, the talent that you have there ready for them to take, that if they've dug a hole and they put it in there, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would give them the desire to go and dig that talent up and put it to use before you come back to multiply it. And so that you could also say to each and every one of us, thou good and faithful servant, come and inherit the eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. And we pray as we depart from here that we would be mindful of these verses and the questions. Who will abide at your coming, and who will stand when you appear? Thank you, dear Jesus. Amen. If there's anything else that you have on your heart that you'd like to bring to God, pray that my wish is that you will pray for that and that you'd also give God the glory for being able to gather together and to again look into his holy word. And so together with me, for those who are able, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. So this morning, I thank you. Thank you all for attending this morning and for those listening online or those that will listen maybe in the days to come. That I want to thank you that you've been attentive and your prayers. And I pray that you would continue to pray. I think you can often imagine only what a person goes through when, as a preacher and the challenges that a person has, how the devil comes so strongly and says, don't speak about that. Don't talk about that. And so my prayers, my wishes for each one of you, I'd like to ask you a favor. If you have a talent, if you have one talent, and that is maybe praying, take that time of that talent and pray that God would make us as pastors not fearful to man, but rather fearful to God if we don't preach correctly, and that we would preach the word of God truthfully. I do not want to lead someone astray. I do not want to teach you wrong. And that is my biggest fear many times. What have I spoken? Have I spoken the truth? And so my encouragement to you would be, if you have that talent, and I believe we all do have that one as a talent, and that's praying. Thank you for coming. And so in closing, I want to close with verse out of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go. Go in the peace of the Lord.